Hi, it's Jamie, Progressive number one, number two employee. Leave a message at the... Hey, Jamie, it's me, Jamie. This is your daily pep talk. I know it's been rough going ever since people found out about your a cappella group, Mad Harmony, but you will bounce back. I mean, you're the guy always helping people find coverage options with the Name Your Price tool. It should be you giving me the pep talk. Now get out there, hit that high note, and take Mad Harmony all the way to nationals this year! Sorry, it's pitchy.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's another episode of the Locked On NFL Draft Podcast with John Ledyard and Trevor Sikkema. And we have some wide receivers to get to and wrap up the 2018. Well, I shouldn't say wrap up because we're going to take your questions tomorrow on the 2018 wide receiver class. Early projections anyway. We got a lot of names to throw your way today, so bear with us. We're going to fire through some of these guys because there's just so many wide receivers to talk about in the quest to find one that's really, you know, worthy of a wide receiver one label, a first round type chatter. So that's what the mission that we're on. But first, I gotta read some of these. iTunes reviews that we've had. By the way, we've had incredible reviews from you guys. It's been great. I mean, we've had. These reviews are entertaining. You've kept them up through May. The ratings have been great. We really, really appreciate it. There's a couple things I'll address too that people had left in the comments. But yeah, some really good stuff. So one person said, it's as if Seth Rogen and Chuck Klosterman decided to do an NFL draft podcast. He said, I know it's weird. Just give them a listen. I thought that was fantastic. I'm guessing that I'm Rogen. Klosterman's like an author for people who don't know. I knew I'd heard of him. I had to like look up some of the stuff that he, but I don't know who's who there. But either way, that was
I've never heard Seth Rogen on a podcast, so I don't know. I don't know how I feel about listening to like 30 minutes of Seth Rogen basically just going improv about a topic. So
yeah,
I think that's a compliment though. So I will take it.
Yeah, I'm guessing that it is. I love the fact that like six people refer to you as Travis.
It's gonna be jokingly. It's gonna be me forever.
Somebody said great stuff, John and Travis, and then put like a laughing face because they knew it was wrong. Somebody said I found a place for people like myself that just love talking football personnel evaluation and position fits as much as I do. Yeah, I really appreciate that. That is something we definitely try and focus on. Here's a great one. Was drunk and listening to the last Fan Friday question and was very confused and didn't know what the hell was going on. If you're drunk and you listen to Fan Friday episodes, man, you're in for a wild ride.
I mean, the first question is probably even more confusing because we start out with those history ones. So if you're drunk and trying to figure out what era the Prussian Empire was at its peak, then you know you're probably gonna
That's
be
right.
Looking for a different podcast.
You're like, wait, I thought this was a draft podcast. You're talking about Persian history.
Yeah, just real casually open it up into ancient history.
Things get wild on Fan Fridays, man. We can't be held responsible for anything that happens. The end of the week, you know, we're looking forward to the week. We get a lot going on. We got one 2-star review the entire time we've existed. And here's the comment that went with it. In your podcast, you said you'd list what teams were on which team review podcast, but that hasn't been done. Why? I did that the day after we finished the team podcast. So OD9, if you still listen to us, maybe it shows up on Audio Boom better than iTunes. I don't really know, but if you go to Audio Boom and search Locked On NFL Draft, you will be able to all the teams are listed in the description of the episode. All the teams are listed when we reviewed their draft classes, so you'll be able to find exactly where, and they're listed in order that we talk about them on the podcast too. So you'll be able to find exactly where your team was talked about, and so hopefully that clears things up for you. But I did do that as soon as we wrapped them all up. I did it the next day, so that should be there for you if you look for it. So. Here's a good one. I've been listening to this podcast since Kyle and Joe, shout out NDT Scouting, were dropping knowledge about draft prospects, even though they've moved onto some other things. John and the revolving door of co-hosts, which has been stopped by Trevor. He said, seriously, that position is like the professor of the dark arts at Hogwarts or something. Oh my gosh, these are great. Have been holding it down. The hosts are very knowledgeable and don't mind disagreeing, which I like the most. Boom. So they like when we go back and forth, apparently. Sometimes this person...
John's an idiot, so it's easy.
That's right, exactly. Trevor just has to, or Travis has to just take the pot. They also mentioned that you are Travis.
Dang it.
But they do mention, and a couple of people have mentioned sound at times. Part of it is just the reality of doing a podcast from two separate locations. You know, Trevor can sound fine on the levels when he first comes on the show, and then he can get excited, and we don't have anybody that like listens in to like a studio person that listens in and can adjust our volumes as things go. So part of it is just kind of the reality of it, as are the emotion flows. It's going to happen at some points. And I think we have different types of mics that affects it too. It could sound fine to me, could sound different to you guys. So there's a lot that goes into the sound quality aspect of it. At some point, hopefully we will be able to get better software and learn how to use it for that kind of stuff. I think generally I listen back to the beginning of most episodes at least, and I think generally it's not a big issue. So we'll try and do our best, but you might have to work with us a little bit in that area as well too, because it's just kind of part of it in some points. So
I feel like I need to change my Twitter name to The Revolving Door Travis.
It wasn't really that much of a revolving door either. I mean, it was Luke, and then he moved on pretty quickly to because he had so many irons in the fire. And then from that point on, it's, you know, just been us. So, yeah, so good stuff from you guys. Really, we really do appreciate
thank you.
It. Yeah, if you guys do like anything we talk about, go on iTunes, check it out, leave us a review and a rating. That stuff really boosts us on their iTunes charts and things like that. We got up pretty high in this past draft season, during draft season. We were into the 30s at least. They change it so frequently, but we were at least at 37. I think some people said they saw us at 32. I have to look now to check all that. We're not solely tied to that at all times and or anything, but we certainly do appreciate the love you guys have shown us on there, and I encourage you to keep doing that, and we'll keep giving you the best content we can. So 2018 wide receivers, we are not at Fan Friday yet, so we
want to go back and forth here.
Yeah,
like you give a name, I'll give a name, we'll touch on them a little bit, and then
are you gonna start with Antonio Callaway?
If you would like me to, I very much can.
Go for it, pick your guy.
All right, the savior of Florida football's offense over the last 2 years, Antonio Callaway. I like Antonio Callaway a lot. If you haven't watched him, he's a very, very explosive receiver. And this guy has been playing since his true freshman year at Florida. And, boy, despite some, let's just call it less than ideal quarterback play, Antonio Callaway has been able to put up some really memorable plays, probably some of the best plays for the Gators over the last 2 years. So goes into his junior year this year. We all kind of really expect this to be his last year, man. If he could have left for the draft last year, he would have. And that's not to say because of size or injury or anything like that. He's 5'11", probably like 195, maybe 200 if he's lucky. So he doesn't have like imposing size, but just such a natural with the ball in his hand as a route runner. He is so precise in the things that he does. He has short area explosiveness, which is something that we talk about a lot with running backs as well. But he has that short area explosiveness for good precision in and out of his routes and when he's making guys miss. And he has that long extended explosiveness where he's got good straight line speed to beat guys down the line. He's, you know, famous for, I believe it was – 2 years ago. Yeah, 2 years ago. He's the one who was on the end of that Will Greer pass where he caught the end around and ran it all the way up the sideline against Tennessee to keep the streak alive against Tennessee. That's him, man. And he catches it, turns, runs up the sideline, gone. And that's the kind of wide receiver that Antonio Callaway is. He's just a very explosive receiver, very natural receiver with the ball in his hands. And he's a guy that I think scouts will really like. I don't think he'll be a first-round guy just because he is he's small. He's not even 6 foot. But in terms of a player who can play outside as a smaller receiver, inside as a slot guy, you know, somebody like Brandon Cooks. I don't know if he's as explosive as Brandon Cooks, but somebody of that role where he could play a lot of different wide receiver positions, that's Antonio Callaway.
Yes. There's a lot to like about Callaway on the field that's really intriguing. Off the field, lots of concerns. you know, obviously there's been a couple of things with marijuana. He was cleared of a sexual assault assault allegation. Was that 2016? I think it was last summer or something like that. Just recently, again, was found in possession of marijuana, I believe. This was what he said, I believe, during his hearing in the investigation allegation. He said that he was so stoned he had no interest in having sex with anyone from the sexual assault allegation. So a little bit concerning. I mean, good that he seems like he didn't sexually assault anyone, but...
Oh, yeah, very, very.
But obviously not ideal.
I tip my hat to marijuana for that, I guess. Right.
I don't know what... If the choice is between the two. I think that there's obviously going to be
the choice
concerns.
Between the two, stay stoned. That's yeah. Hashtag that if you want. I don't know. But
this show's going off the rails on Thursday instead of Friday. All that to say that there's obviously substantial concerns here off the field. So, you know, we bring that up just to make people aware of it. But I do think, he is talented. There's no question about that. And you're right. He's had very little to work with. Again, goes back to some of these guys are really difficult to evaluate because they not only do they not have great quarterback play, but they don't even get a lot of the times these struggling quarterbacks, if people are covered or if there's a tight window or they don't trust their arm, they don't trust their anticipation enough to make those kind of throws. So they'll just tuck it and run a lot of the time or scramble around. And so a lot of the time, good work is getting and achieving a sliver of separation and the quarterback won't test that window. And so a receiver doesn't get a chance to display a skill set at all. That he could. So I think that's something to keep in mind with Callaway too, is that we're just gonna have to deal with it basically with him and try and read between the lines in his evaluation.
Yep. Who's your guy? Who's your first guy?
I'm going with Equanimeous St. Brown. Not just
phenomenal name.
Phenomenal name.
I think he has a brother named Osiris.
Oh my goodness. I'm so glad you brought up his siblings. Now I'm going to look up the names. I was thinking about whether to read them or not. And then I was like, you know what? But
that's probably what I'll judge him on the most as a prospect.
Honestly.
Elite names of his siblings.
The names of his siblings are straight up off the chain, and I apologize, Equanimeous, if you're listening. I hope I said your name right. His siblings' name, two younger brothers, okay? These names take up two lines on his bio. Osiris Adrian Amen Rod J. St. Brown.
And what?
And Amon-Ra Julian Haru Jason Brown. I'm not kidding, man.
That's incredible.
So Equanimeous turned out to be the simplest for sure.
Oh my gosh. I'm surprised one of them's not literally just named like the winged god Ra or something, you know, like
that'd be amazing. That would be immediate prospect number one on the board.
100%.
But he's a big receiver and we didn't have a ton of really, you know, I won't want to put him in Calvin Benjamin territory because he's lanky, but he has that 6'4", 205-pound frame and real long arms. Have seen him snag the ball outside of his frame. Have seen him drop a lot of passes, too. Really glides around. I've seen him give good effort as a blocker. I think he needs to bulk up, but he like I said, he's a smooth player. Not really explosive, I wouldn't say. In and out of breaks and things like that. He has to show he can win consistently at the catch point, I think, this season. So, this is a big year for him because last year, I mean, he didn't really play in 2015. He's a sophomore last year, and he caught 58 balls for 961 yards. So averaging just under 17 yards a catch while scoring 9 touchdowns caught a lot of people's eye. But now Kaiser's moved on, and so I think that it's reasonable to say that there's a big spotlight on Equanimeous St. Brown because he needs to kind of step up and be the man for this Notre Dame offense right now. And it's a Notre Dame offense that certainly has some talent, especially along the offensive line, but there's going to be a lot of question marks as well. So I think that the more he can do to alleviate that, but again, we could be seeing a situation that could be in some way similar to Callaway and that the quarterback play may not aid his desire to come out early, if that is indeed his desire eventually to come out early. So I think that there's going to be a lot of chatter about him because of his size, and I think he is a pretty fast kid, pretty athletic kid overall. Explosive traits may be lacking, but if he can make up for that at the catch point, and I think generally speaking, he's a good enough athlete to achieve pretty good separation just based on that, even if he isn't going to play in the slot, and maybe if he struggles with smaller corners. But he has to show he can post guys up as well. So I thought his releases were pretty advanced for a guy who is in his first year really playing in college football. So that's a good sign, because facing a lot of press coverage, that'll be important. So he's a guy to watch for this year for sure. I'm excited to see what he produces for Notre Dame.
Next guy for me, I'm actually going to the other the rival of the Florida Gators. I'm talking about a Florida State Seminole, and that is Auden Tate. This is a guy that I don't think many people are talking about, just because he hasn't had a lot of usage. But man, if you at any point watched a Florida State game, last year especially when Francois was in there doing his thing, Auden Tate, whenever the ball went to him, clearly was their best wide receiver. And this is a dude who is 6'5", 225 pounds, who has that prototypical size. And just you'd watch some of the passes that he was getting, towards the sideline, even over the middle, where he's jumping over dudes, just being a total athlete for a guy who has that kind of size. And that stuff really, really impressed me. Now, the production for him, it is low over his first 2 years. I believe he's a true junior this year. So I think he is a true junior because he played six games in his freshman season. So he's a true junior this year. And Francois is not – he can run, but he's not like this dual threat read option main quarterback. Like Francois can throw. Francois can do pro-style things. And so with Francois being there for another year, getting better, and I expect him to get better because, man, DeAndre Francois is a stud. I know we're not talking about quarterbacks, but DeAndre Francois is an absolute stud.
That's my dude, man.
So I expect – unfortunately, he's my dude too, and I get to watch him win games for the Seminoles. He's probably going to – yeah, but anyways. His main guy this season's got to be Auden Tate. They got Nyquan Murray, who is an explosive wide receiver as well, and I think that he's going to do some things in the speed game. But when it comes to the main game plan of that offense, I think it's going to be with Auden Tate. And not a lot of people are talking about him right now, and his name is, I think, going to be one that's going to be catapulted to the top of those, hey, guess what, this guy's draft eligible kind of things when – Florida State starts playing off in those big games, but starting right off with Alabama. We could see Auden Tate have this big coming out party, first college football game in the year. So very excited to watch him. It might even be him. Sometimes it might be him lined up against Minkah Fitzpatrick in that first game, and that'll be some fun.
Yeah, that could be an interesting one. Like you said, size, and he's about the same height probably as Equanimeous St. Brown, but a lot bulkier, a lot more size to him.
He's
and I think
prototypical size for sure for now.
So I'm real excited. But 25 career college catches at this point. So definitely we need to see more. But the flashes have been really, six touchdowns out of those 25 catches.
He is my sleeper first round wide receiver guy.
Yeah.
So
we got bigger name guys to go to, but since you threw in a sleeper, I'm going to throw in a sleeper. I think Hunter Renfro from Clemson is for real good. Not like walk on good college player good. For real good. He's a dynamic route runner, can play on the slot inside or outside. Terrific hands. He has some of the best hands that I've ever seen in a college prospect. He catches absolutely everything. And he's kind of has that reputation for being that guy. And I know he's not the biggest dude, and his production hasn't been insane, but 77 career catches for 987 yards and 11 touchdowns. Obviously, some big time performances in both national championship games.
Yeah, but he cooked Minkah Fitzpatrick a couple times.
Yeah,
not Minkah this and past Marlon. Year, but the year before.
Right.
Yeah,
and he has cooked. Yeah, both of those guys, and they're probably both going to end up being first round picks. And he's cooked both of them. And he wasn't just those games either. They spread the ball around so much. And with Mike Williams and Wayne Gallman and Jordan Leggett and Deion Kane and Ray McLeod and Artavis Scott, you're only going to get so many receptions. Like, that's just the reality. And so he got 44 last year, and he's not going to be a big vertical type threat, although I don't think he's slow per se. But this is a guy who's going to play in the slot and can dominate that area of the field, I think, with his ability. He can make contested catches. There's no question. He did it consistently. He'll be limited by his size and his deep speed some. But I think this is a guy that, we're not talking about a first-round pick or anything like that, but as a mid-round type player, I think can make an impact in the NFL. I'm really curious to see what happens this year, because obviously with so many players moving on, a lot of the players that I just mentioned, it's going to be he and Deion Kane kind of asked to carry a lot of the offense. And so I think he's more than up to the task. I know that people will say the group around him really helped him be productive, but I think he's a really talented kid who has some of the best natural receiving instincts, both as a route runner and in terms of just addressing the ball as a receiver that I've seen. I just think he's going to be one of those guys that won't wow in testing, but is just going to come out in the NFL and be able to produce as a member of a receiving corps. And he's not going to be a number one option or anything like that, but I think he's going to be able to produce as a member of receiving corps. And I think right now, if you asked a lot of people, they would say he's not going to be drafted, but I think we'll see that change by the time next season rolls around. I'm just a big fan of what he brings to the table.
All right, so my next guy, I think Draft Twitter would be upset with me if I didn't mention Mr. Richie James, who is, if you don't know who that is, Middle Tennessee State, their wide receiver, and people are calling him. Yeah, I've seen those little, you know, those memes that people post on Twitter where it's the prospect and then like the upgrade button and then like a different wide receiver. They do that for John Ross with Richie James, which is quite the compliment. But man, for this guy, the last 2 years, Middle Tennessee State, freshman, sophomore years, over 100 catches both years, well over 1,000 yards both years. He almost had 3,000 yards. And I think he was the number one yards after the catch receiver over the last 2 years by like 300 yards or something, which is stupid.
Wow.
And he's a very fun watch. People are going to really enjoy watching his tape because he is, when we talked about Antonio Callaway as like a natural route or a natural runner with the balls in his ball in his hand, that's kind of the same thing with James. And James is even more like quick twitch. Like he will he will get you turned around. He will like double and triple move you to do whatever it takes to like really just maximize the amount of space you could possibly have. So a yards after the catch god is Richie James. He is only had it here
5'9" or something. Like,
yeah, he is 5'9" 180. So he is a small dude, and that kind of worries me. I also don't think he is as fast as John Ross. I don't know. I don't think he is nearly as fast as John Ross is. So that's
not as big either, probably.
No, not as big either. Not that Ross is big. But so, like, I think that he's, you know, surely strictly a slot receiver, but. I mean, he's fun. If he can get the ball in his hands, he can do stuff with it. He's got great feet. Small frame, so it's not as difficult to be as good with your feet because you have shorter steps. You have more explosiveness in what you're doing. So, but he's good. I wonder about his pro outlook because guys like Tywan Taylor, he's kind of like of that mold. Even Carlos Henderson-ish, you know, he's kind of that same. Hey, I'm playing lesser competition, get the ball in my hands, I'm going to take it for a mile.
Right.
You know, that's kind of what it was, and we saw how late those guys kind of went in the draft. So it makes me wonder, you know, Richie James, you could really like him, he could be a fun player, but in terms of the NFL draft, how high does he really go? Because those guys were much bigger than he was. He's a much smaller player, and I still think he can be productive. I just wonder how high his ceiling can really be with an NFL draft mindset. But he'll be a fun watch this year. Everybody who's going to watch him is going to really enjoy being able to watch his tape, and I'm looking forward to seeing more stuff from him, obviously, this year under a bigger spotlight.
My guy is Christian Kirk. I know people are going to get excited about him, and I think rightfully so. He's one of the guys I think that I'm most intrigued by seeing this season and seeing what he can produce, because he's consistently, even in an offense that spread the ball around at Texas A&M, I mean, this guy, 80 catches in 2015, 83 in 2016, and they had other weapons all around him, you know. Hasn't really been a big play, explosive type.
Basically put Speedy Noyle out of the job, you know?
Yeah, right. I mean, he did. I mean, it's not, you know, but it's that Kirk, I think we expected to see more, you know, kind of vertical threat ability from or post catch, and, you know, average per catch, you know, to 11 yards last season. So I think a lot of people expected to see more downfield threat from him, and maybe we will. Don't look now, but I think his quarterback play this season could be better. I know Trevor Knight's your boy. I don't want to say anything too mean about the love of Katy Perry's life, but the reality is that I think he really struggled. I think he was like a 53% passer last year. And
wasn't great.
Yeah, definitely wasn't great. So I think Jay Kubenek, who's going to be their new quarterback, could potentially be an upgrade in that way. Travion Williams, a running back, by the way, that is only a sophomore, so we didn't talk about. But this kid is freaking good for Texas A&M. And so they have other things to offset. Kirk, the rest of the weapons, they're kind of cleared out. Noyle and Seals Jones and Josh Reynolds. And now it's Kirk's show, man. I mean, he's going to get the opportunity to really be everything that they need him to be. And the offense is going to, I think, heavily run through him. But his production, yeah, insane already. I mean, 163 catches in his career already over 2 years. And, you know, but and he's produced in 16 touchdowns. He gets some carries as well. He's used a lot in that way. He was a 5-star recruit from just about everybody. So, I mean, he has a lot of athletic traits that people are going to really like. They just haven't really manifested itself in, like, dominant per-catch production, I don't think, at this point. But that could definitely change this. Right now, he's been, like, a high-volume type receiver. Like, the more targets you give him, you know, the better the yards are going to look. But he's not the kind of guy that's going to maximize every catch to this point. I think people expected a little bit more when he got here, and maybe now that he's the focal point of an offense and they can run some more dynamic things for him, maybe that will change this season. That's really what I'm curious to see.
So I don't know how many we got left, but I want to touch on Deion Kane for sure. This is a guy who, again, true junior. He's been producing since he got there. So much speed with this guy. Very explosive. And I love the possibilities that you could have with Deion Kane as a pro prospect, because as opposed to him, you know, possibly being a slot type of player, I mean, he's 6'2", 200. So when I watched Deion Kane first, I thought that his skill set, I was like, all right, well, you know, he's a smaller slot receiver. And then I saw the dude's over 6 foot and nearly 200 pounds. So I was like, oh, shoot. You know, now I got to think of him. I got to think of him as more of the total package. And he averaged almost 20 yards a catch last year. I believe he did not get to play in the national championship game before in his freshman season. So that was a guy who I think Clemson really missed when it came to those playoff games. And then this year they had him, and I believe he went off against Alabama. I know he went off against Louisville when Clemson played him this year. And now it's kind of his show. We've talked about that with a couple of these other guys. You know, Mike Williams is gone, but even though Deshaun Watson is gone, I think that they're going to make things – easier, make sure the ball gets in Kane's hands more this year than it ever has. And so his numbers and his yards, or his total catches, total yards, may look lower just because of the offense that Clemson was in. But, I mean, when you talk about a guy who was on the end of a lot of these big plays, had a knack for scoring touchdowns, almost double-digit touchdowns with a limited amount of catches he got in a pretty diverse offense – like you were talking about with Renfrey, I think it's going to be these two guys that are going to try to get the ball in their hands. And I think because because they're going to try to get him in more of that slot safety blanket role, I think that's going to open up Deion Kane to really just be the man for them to get creative with him and his speed and his size. So I think we're going to see a Clemson offense. It's very developed around Kane. And he could put on a real show for us. So I'm looking forward to watching him for sure.
Yeah, I think Kane, Deontay Burnett from USC with the weapons that are gone there, Darius Rogers, Juju Smith-Schuster, those guys moving on. Jester Way to a lesser extent maybe, and Pitt. I hope I'm saying his name right. DJ Chark, with the weapons moved on there. Even Simi Cobbs, who was hurt last year and then was suspended week one and then ended up being hurt anyway and then out the rest of the year with an ankle injury. He missed the entire season last year, but 2 years ago when Nate Sudfeld was there throwing balls, he had 1,000 yards and, you know, big prototypical size receiver who really did some impressive things on tape. All five of those guys, I think, have really big seasons ahead of them, because Kane and Jester Way and DJ Shark have had weapons or quarterbacks change around them that they really need to adjust to, especially with Kane and Jester Way. You know, Jester Way averaged like 24 yards a catch last year for Pitt. It was insane. And he's got great size too. So teams are going to love the vertical threat ability at that size and the post catch ability at that size. Simi Cobbs has to come back from that ankle and the suspension. Deion Kane's had a couple suspensions in his career. Has been forced to miss a couple games at two different times at least for Clemson. So that's concerned with him. Similar to what we were talking about with Callaway, that stuff's got to be answered this year. But all those guys, I think, you know, DJ Chark, and I don't know whether LSU is going to be able to throw the football at all this year. Or if they're, you know, obviously they'll rely heavily on the rushing attack, but with Dupree and Dural gone, he's going to be the main guy in that offense. So how does he produce in that light? Because very limited production right now, but what I've seen, I really like and can get excited about. So those guys, I think, all have the opportunity. Barnett, maybe more than anyone, with playing with Sam Darnold and with the weapons that moved on there, he's going to be probably the number one guy there. And so, you know, I think that he flashed a ton last year, and I watched 56 catches, just 622 yards, but he caught 7 touchdowns. It was really impressive as a sophomore. The wide receiver class in amongst the seniors is wide open. I mean, we didn't really talk about Dante Pettis, but Alan Lazard, those are going to be guys that are at the top of that list for the seniors. Outside of that, it's wide open and there for the taking for some of these underclassmen guys to be able to step up and establish themselves as a wide receiver one. So Burnett, Kane, especially those two, I think, could really try and make a push for a wide receiver one type of category. Kirk is another underclassman that can push with a strong year. So there's a lot of names out there and a lot of talent, but to me, when I look at this wide receiver class, and I've hinted at this over the past couple days, I don't see anybody right now that I would say wide receiver one on an NFL team. He's going to be the guy that you can run your offense through. He's going to be the key cog, the main weapon in your passing attack. And I saw that with Corey Davis last year, and I saw it with Mike Williams, and I saw the elements of that with guys like John Ross and Carlos Henderson that they could be key aspects of your offense at the very least. But this year, I don't know. I don't know that I see that at this point. And obviously, we're super early. You know, I'm not saying that even when the time this season starts that I'll feel the same way. But right, where I see right now, based on what I've seen from these guys, which is limited still. I mean, I'm still very early into the tape of these guys from last season. Nobody jumps out to me as an obvious number one, including the guys that we've talked about earlier in the week. I know you may have some different feelings about that, but that's kind of where I'm at with the class right now.
Yeah, it's a pretty wide open thing, but I think that we got to make sure that we don't confuse the listeners with wide open to that it's not talented. You know, there's sure. Plenty of questions here and there, but I think that there's some really good wide receivers who, like we talked about before, there's certainly not a lot of hype, and we're not sure who is going to separate themselves amongst the group. But a lot of that, like we referenced when we brought some of these names up, that's because this year is going to be their first year as really the guy, as the key to their offenses. So it's actually it's not that it's a down year. It's actually kind of a more intriguing year, maybe a more exciting year. You're probably going to see guys who we didn't even get to list off of these names who come to the forefront or maybe end up being a top 50 pick. Who knows? So it's kind of a big change year for college football in that sense, with a lot of the top teams losing a lot of their big talent guys, and we're seeing more people get catapulted into those feature roles that we're going to get to watch in 2017. So it should be a fun year.
Gun to your head right now, if you had to pick, who do you think, not who you think should be, but who do you think will be the top receiver off the board next year? Obviously super early, but who do you think?
Courtland Sutton.
You think he'll be the top guy? First round pick, obviously?
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah.
I do.
I'm tempted to agree with you, to be honest. So. Yeah. At this point, I don't see anybody who's more convincing from an NFL team's perspective will think.
I almost said Auden Tate. So like if it's a revolver of a gun and the first one's blank and I got to say another name.
Have you been in this situation before?
Oh, dude, you got to train for it. Absolutely, you know. You got to be ready for every situation. Oh, why do you think I sit at a table at a booth at a restaurant that's always looking at the exit? You got to know, dude.
Hey, dude, I do the same thing. You do that? I for real do that, yeah.
Absolutely not. I'm not a weirdo.
You got to be prepared, man. You never know. Good stuff. I don't disagree with you on Sutton, to be honest. I really think that he has a great job. I have my doubts about him, but I think from an NFL team perspective, if I had to – but it is – very difficult. It is not obvious to me at all. You know, and I think last year at this time, a lot of people would have said Williams and Davis, and it was Williams and Davis. And so I think that this is just a tough year.
I mean, Davis, then Williams, but who's
right? Yeah. Sure. Yeah.
Let's be precise.
Here. Didn't mean wide to slander.
Wide receiver one.
Didn't mean to throw any slander out there. So we'll be back tomorrow. Fan Friday. We'll take your questions on the 2018 wide receiver class. And I'm sure, based on the past couple weeks, we'll take your questions on all other aspects of life. Don't listen to Fan Friday shows drunk. That's the main lesson today. Don't listen to Fan Friday shows drunk unless you're ready for a wild ride, because that's what it's going to be. That's the way we keep it here. And so you guys keep it locked right here on Locked On NFL Draft.